Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us here today. And joining me, Milan Yurkovich.
Hi, Steve.
And Chris Williams. Hi there. How are you guys doing?
Good to be here with you guys.
Yeah. Merry Monday.
Well, yeah. And glad that you're here. Anybody that wants to join us, we're in the studio for a couple of hours here. 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number. And Chris, this is the first time I've talked with you. Very, very sorry about the passing of your father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that.
What was something that you admired in your dad? What was it?
I think there was a couple things. I think the first thing is that he had a relentless work ethic. And he sort of, even though in his professional life he was white collar, he had a lunch pail attitude about his work. And so really instilled a lot of that, I think, in me and my brother and in our family as well. My mom has the same thing. So, and I think the other thing, too, is that he struggled mightily with his own addiction and PTSD throughout his life, but he just never gave up. You know, he kept moving forward and kept trying to find different ways to get help. There are some things in his way, especially the PTSD, but I think it's just work in progress. You know, I think of love always perseveres, and he really, really exemplified that.
Mm. Well, I know this. The Bible tells us to honor our father and mothers, and you and the person that you've become have done that.
Oh, thank you. That means
you're
a lot
to me. Honor to him. And I was preaching about this the other day about how, you know, sometimes, unlike your situation, people don't have honorable parents. And the one thing that we can do to honor them is to become something far greater than they ever could have led us to. That's the way to honor, versus thinking we've got to, you know, agree or acquiesce with dishonorable direction or whatever. And so in the case of you and your father, you're such an honorable guy, and we're so glad that you're with us and sorry for what you've been through. Mm.
Thank you for that.
Steve, that's a
blessing.
That's a brilliant point, that our parents can only take us so far, and maybe they haven't been that admirable. But then if we excel and grow to the place where God wants us to go and we mature, then we honor them by going beyond. I think that's a great point you're making.
Well, it hit me like a ton of bricks over these last few weeks that my work in recovery and in healing is just carrying on my dad's unfinished work.
Wow. That's fabulous.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty cool. Well, anybody knows Chris, they know that he is an honor to his dad and an honorable dad already. So we feel for you, what you're going through, and glad that you're with us here today. Anybody here, whatever you're going through, there's a brand new thing, and it is a Life Recovery Workbook on grief. The Life Recovery Workbook has been a great accompaniment to the Life Recovery Bible. It's the second best-selling thing other than the Bible. And now we've created a way to go through the 12 steps and help you in the grieving process. And we're really excited, brand new, just out, really excited about it. And we want you to have a copy. And, you know, if you gift of any amount, we'd be glad to get that to you. Any amount, we'll send you the Life Recovery Workbook for Grief. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Milan Yurkovich, Chris Williams, Steve Arterburn here 1-800-229-3000. For 2 hours, we're right here. 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us. Happy New Year. Happy New Decade. Happy New Life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn. We're really glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. We're going to go right to the phone calls. And how about we talk with Jessica? Jessica listens on our app. You can download it yourself going to the App Store. She's from San Mateo, California. Jessica, how you doing?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
So bear with me. My question's kind of convoluted, but I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember. I grew up in a Christian home. Maybe a month after I got married, I kind of had a spiritual awakening where God kind of opened my eyes to the kind of person I was, and very self-righteous, and I realized I had like a lying issue, and basically I wasn't living in obedience. I said I loved God, and I was a Christian, but I was careless in the way that I was living. So after that kind of realization, I first went to my husband and kind of confessed a lot of things, actually. And after that moment, I kind of went into a series of confessions where it was going on for weeks. It was like, so, God, I don't know if it was God or this. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so are you talking about things you've done, or are you talking about attitudes? What are we talking about the confessions being?
I guess a lot of lies that I had told him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But and I started with him. I mean, there were things that I went to friends, family.
Can you give us an example of the magnitude of what we're talking about here so people can relate to what you're saying?
Okay. Like an example, I mean, it was anything from as small as a place I went to where I hadn't been before, and then something as big as
Hey Jessica, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
What are you afraid? What are you afraid that people are going to find out about you?
I guess just that I called myself a Christian and I messed up a lot.
Yeah, you're carrying around a lot of guilt and shame and fear, and you're using you've used compliance as a form of getting love. If I behave well, then I'll be okay and then I'll be loved. And confession is now giving you a sense of relief, which it's supposed to do. But there's this weird thing that can happen, is that confession can turn into obsession. And so yes, and so you're ruminating around all of your wrongs and your guilt. And you're stuck, I kind of call it stuck at the cross and not getting to the other side of the forgiveness and acceptance.
So I mean, that's exactly where I'm at. I've kind of developed almost like an OCD about about this. And
okay, so what's the question for us then? What is the question that we could help you with in the midst of this kind of turmoil?
So when I read the Bible, I get confused between, you know, who God is as far as like his grace and forgiveness towards me and my sin, and then that intention with he does call us to confess. He does. I mean, there's that verse in Matthew where he says, if you have anything, or if your brother has anything against you, to leave the altar and go make amends. So I'm in this tension between, when I look at my past, I don't know how to make it all right. I don't know how to, it's like I can't go to every person and make amends.
Yeah,
I don't know.
True.
Of course you can't. But the person you need to make amends with is yourself. You know, you're really caught up in obsessing about having to be a person that you want to be and waking up with a person that you actually are. There's always this gap that exists in our life, and it's the person that we aspire to be and would like to be and the person we actually are. And oftentimes in that space in between those two things, we put a lot of shame and guilt. And that's why Christ has come. No, I'm here to put grace in that spot. And so as you apply grace and forgiveness and continue to live in the light, not as a way to absolve yourself from all your sin, but as a way to move forward in maturity and growth. Does that make sense?
It just feels like I'm letting myself off the hook for it.
You are.
Yeah, because Jesus took the hook so that you can take yourself off the hook.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the wrestling. So, I call it the wrestling match with a cross. It's the wrestling match with forgiveness. It's not fair.
Yeah, how thorough do I believe the cross is?
Yeah.
And what's Jesus' responsibility and what's mine? But Jessica, I'd also have to ask you how anxious you are about other things in life and what other things you obsess on.
I mean, prior to this, I guess I do have a problem with like rumination and kind of obsessive thoughts. And
okay, so just stop right there because look, I love your call, and Jessica, your call is a great way to start a radio show because you're trying to figure out a lot of things that are emotional, spiritual, and psychological, and you're putting them all together. And I love what you said, Chris, about we can obsess on things, but we're seeing, and now that we understand, you've obsessed about a lot of things, including your spirituality. And, you know, when people obsess about things, they ruminate, and they're constantly, their brain is constantly spinning on, did I do that right? Do I need to do it again? What do I need to do to get my hands clean of that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And are you getting any help for that?
So, I'm seeing a Christian counselor, but I'm not sure that she understands the entirety of the issue because I bring it to her, and then she goes back to, well, you're forgiven, and I think the anxiety part maybe isn't totally understood.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need a comprehensive treatment for the anxiety, the obsession, the worries, your connection with God, and many times just talking about it is not going to be sufficient, and certainly not sufficient for someone to say you're forgiven. What are you guys thinking?
Absolutely.
Might be the best thing for her.
Absolutely. Jessica, you got to get into your story. You got to get into history here. And you know, there might be anxiety in your family. It might be something that you're genetically predisposed to. And there also might be some experiences in life where you didn't receive the security you mm-hmm. needed at very crucial times.
Right.
And so you had to take care of yourself, or you had to figure it out for yourself, and you therefore don't feel okay until you can figure it out. And that's where ruminating comes from. That's
right.
Where obsession comes from.
If you went online, Jessica, and looked up ACE, A-C-E, stands for Adverse Childhood Experience, and there's a 10-point questionnaire there, it would be interesting for you to take that 10-point questionnaire because when a child has adverse experiences, as Chris said, that are unresolved and uncomforted and unhelped, we carry them with us into our childhood, from our childhood into our adulthood. And it's important to know that. A lot of spiritual Christian counselors are unaware of these things, and they simply speak to spirituality and that you're forgiven. And then she becomes a broken record that, well, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, mm-hmm. you're forgiven. But that's not addressing what you're what you're concerned with here. Steve?
Okay, so she takes the test. She sees that there's a lot there. What are, like, a couple of things that are going to
You find a therapist that's familiar with the adverse childhood experience testing device because they understand what you just said, Chris, which is how history relates to the present.
Yes.
And to it trains us to do our present behaviors. And you need to make sure you're going to a therapist that's trained in trauma.
Yes.
And a therapist that really understands the whole trauma recovery.
Yeah. And to speak to what you do, Mylon, also one who can help us find security in connection, attach well to ourselves, others, and God.
Right.
And here's a little tidbit on when we wonder, what is God's like, or what is he thinking about us, you know? Well, what would you do if God was all angry and bitter when we sin? And what would you do if God was full of grace, love, and mercy when we sin? You'd do the same thing. Jesus said for us to go out and love our neighbor as ourselves and love God. And then some people came around, and she started by saying she had this spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
Well, you know, William James, who wrote Varieties of Religious Experience about spiritual awakenings, he said all religious experiences begin with the cry for help. You ask God to help you love other people well. You do the same thing. You can't change God. So whether he's going to zap you with lightning or he's going to get you a new house, either way, you want to go love people well. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. And then another great person said this: a religious awakening that doesn't awaken you to love has awakened you in vain. To be awakened to shame, to be awakened to guilt and dreading in the presence of God, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about experiencing God's love in a new way so that you can love in a new way. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I think it will help you greatly with some things that maybe are out of balance. And I hope you will get that therapist that can, and we'll help you find one, that can truly help you resolve these things, because the torment you're going through, nobody should have to go through that. Louise, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, WBYN. How you doing?
Great. Thanks so much for taking my call today.
Sure.
I was listening earlier, and God is amazing God. I'm a social worker, and I just came out of a meeting about an hour before I turned you on. And the family was talking about they need help with grief. Mm-hmm. And as I said, God is amazing God, because you talked about the life recovery workbook for grief.
Yeah, right.
But with that being said, my question is, because of my job, I'm not allowed to praise the Lord in front of them and say, well, you know, to help you with through grief. And, you know, to go and explain to them how God would want us to work through it. What can I say to families to help them through the grief process?
I think most people can help people in secular settings without having to say praise God or praise Jesus. For instance, you could say, like in this workbook, the first step is say, let's open our hearts to God's power that can help us through this grieving process. So we're open to something beyond ourselves and just this pain. And then to ask God to join us and to help us. You know, most people, you can use the word higher power or God or something like that, but, you know, we can lead people down a path without having to use any of the religious terms and still be safe, but be talking about the God of the universe and not just something that might be helpful. But everything in life recovery, including this workbook, is all about surrendering your life to God. But we can help people do that. They need that more than anything through that grief process.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Louise, and she's talking about helping families with grief without violating any kind of job restriction on faith. Chris, you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I mean, my thought on that is many people, especially around grief and loss, return to their spiritual roots. And so, you know, what is typically within, you know, ethical bounds of the work that we do is starting with where people are at and then guiding them around strengthening the faith that they already have. And so that's where I've oftentimes started. I, you know, even though I'm known as a Christian therapist, I see plenty of people who are not of Christian faith, but oftentimes as they come back to an understanding of God, you know, then we can lead them or guide them in the direction that is helpful for what they're struggling with, like grief. And I just find when you know, it's so oftentimes even in the 12-step movement, when you find things that are helpful and godly without saying God or Jesus, it just has this natural way of leading them back to the heart of God.
Mylon, any thoughts here?
Yeah, being helpful is critically important.
Well, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, in her famous book On Death and Dying, she set up a circular process whereby we grieve, and it includes anger, mm-hmm. and it involves the initial discomfort and difficulty of embracing the truth and reality.
Yeah.
And then it goes through anger and grief, and it's cycling to a resolution phase. And so there's been a ton of research on it. John Bowlby, the father of attachment, wrote a book on loss. And it's all about what happens when you're bonded and then the bond is broken and there's this loss. And so there's so much on it. And I think to really address, Louise, grief directly and push it into the realm of reality and the importance of facing reality, and as opposed to denying it or over-spiritualizing it to make it pretend in a spiritual way that it's less than it is or less painful, I just think it's important to be real and help people do that. Additionally, there are Christian grief recovery groups in churches and in communities that we can send people to that then have a sense of Christian grief. And according to 1 Thessalonians, there's two kinds of grief. Grief with people that have no hope, mm-hmm. and grief with people who have hope. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important for us to realize that there are multiple resources, and you are limited as a social worker by your license as to what you can say and do. So I appreciate your sensitive question.
Yeah. You know, I was doing a Bible study for Congress, this group of Christians in Congress one year, and there was a funeral that day, and all these people got up, and the children of this congressman who had died were there, and they got up and, you know, talked about how Jesus is, you know, he's with Jesus in heaven, and, you know, these, and then this minister got up there, and I just thought it was so great, and he looked at those kids, and he said, "I just want you to know I am not happy.
Right.
I am mm-hmm. angry that
right.
your father was taken so young.
Right.
He was so full of life, did so many great
hurts."
And I just thought,
yeah.
Man, oh man, how wonderful for those kids to not have to think, "I got to be so happy that daddy's with Jesus."
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I can express my anger.
Yep.
I can express my frustration in a healthy way here. And I just think sometimes as Christians, we have this, I don't even know what to call it. It's just a fake way of living.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like we're mentally ill when it comes to reality.
That's right.
Yeah.
We really need to do something about it. All right.
We talk ourselves out of reality every day.
Boy, is that ever true? Okay, let's go to Rachel, Denver, Colorado, KGFT. And by the way, if you want to join us, here's the phone number, 1-800-229-3000. Rachel, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you for taking my call. Really appreciate
sure.
it.
Yeah. What's going on?
My dad has struggled with anger and rage all his life. And there was a recent incident with him and his wife that landed him in jail overnight. And he has a court hearing in about a week. And I'm just trying to figure out how to help. I love both my dad and his wife, and I don't really know what to do. He's sorry, and he's feels terrible and ashamed. And
that doesn't help anything, though, does it? You know that. You know that him being sorry and feeling ashamed doesn't. It's not going to help in the long run, right?
Well, isn't it?
Maybe you don't.
Isn't that better than being like, I don't care? You know,
Yeah, but it's a part of the cycle, Rachel, that all abusers go mm-hmm. through a cycle after they abuse of being contrite mm-hmm. and a contrition. And then everything seems to get brushed over. Everybody kind of starts to re-smile in a week or two or three or four. And then the tension builds mm-hmm. and they abuse again. So it's just a part of a cycle.
And the most dangerous part of the cycle that I tell people who struggle with this is actually what we call the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
Because it tricks you into thinking that something has changed,
that's
and
right.
it has not.
That's right.
When did the incident occur?
A few nights ago.
Was alcohol involved, or?
No. His father was an alcoholic, but he doesn't drink.
Yeah. He just rages.
In a really bad situation.
Yeah, he just rages.
Did he go see a counselor yesterday or today? Or the day before?
He's been in counseling for years. He's on medication, and apparently he changed his dosage on one of the medications, or the medication. I don't know what all he's taking, but he's saying that contributed, which of course is kind of a red flag to me, but
okay, we'll talk more about this right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Rachel. And so, Rachel, what is the question for us then? It was how to help your dad?
How do I feel caught in the middle. I don't know how to, I frankly want to rescue him.
Don't do that.
I don't want him to go to jail.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
The way you are not caught in the middle is that you address the enemy. The enemy isn't your dad and it's not her. The enemy is the problem that has not been fixed.
Right.
So dad, you may go to jail because we didn't fix the problem in time. I'm here for you. But if it's jail that has to take place, then it has to take place. But we can't deny the problem. And we can't deny that this has been around for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not for you or her over each other. I'm for the problem being taken care of, Dad. I love you. I want you to be free of this, and I want her to be free of this.
Mm-hmm.
But what about what you were going to say, something there, Sarah?
I've witnessed her badgering him, though, and then, you know, calling him, saying, you don't know anything, and
yeah, that's horrible, too. That's
like
horrible, too.
Him on.
That's horrible also.
Yeah.
See? But a person never has the right to hit another person, no matter. He had the right to walk out of the house, get in a car, and flee her.
Mm-hmm.
If she's egging him on, see, and he didn't do that. So don't use her and her sickness as an excuse for him not to deal with his sickierness.
Rachel,
because he hit her.
Yeah, Rachel, one of the things that adult children of alcoholics struggle mightily with is because they didn't learn a sense of value around themselves. They don't know how to set boundaries for themselves. And you cannot set a boundary for your dad that he can't hold himself. And if you try, you keep him stuck. Your work here is to, as Steve said, address the problem, and then you need to set boundaries for yourself. Here's where I'm not going to get involved. I'm going to call out the problem for what it is. I will help wherever I can with the problem. But I would suggest that your dad needs to get into this thing called Adult Children of Alcoholics. It's actually a 12-step program. There's a book around it. It I think it'd be really helpful, and get into some deeper work around his historical pain. Because when he gets triggered and he can't set boundaries, he's like a caged or a trapped animal, and that's where he feels like the only thing he could do is lose his mind and get violent. And until he addresses that, there's nothing anyone can do.
And I want to send you How We Love, because that's going to help you understand why you would do something that might perpetuate the problem rather than finally, at this juncture, we get it taken care of forever. You know, I heard Henry Cloud put it this way. I've always said, you know, desire is a horrible, horrible indicator of success. Henry uses the word motivation. He said, motivation is the least indicator of success of a person dealing with the problem, because you can be motivated because you got caught or whatever. The other day, a woman came to me and she said, I've been married 17 years. My husband had an affair for 3 years. The woman called me and said, I can't do this anymore. And when I confronted my husband, he said, yes, it's true. I've been doing this. He feels horrible. He wants the marriage to work. I asked him to leave, but he said he'll do anything he can. I said, okay, well, let's see if that's true. Do you think he went to Amazon and even maybe downloaded a book or ordered a book on how to win back my wife's heart or how to be a man of integrity? No, he did. Do you think he called a therapist that day and said, he said he was willing to go to counseling if I would let him come back? I go, oh, but sounds like, so you see what I mean? Just, you look at the reality, he was saying, oh, I want this, but there was not an ounce. Imagine you've got this problem. You've ripped out the heart of your wife, and you're not even willing to download a book, call for help, talk to anybody. And when we were done, she was pretty convinced he had no intention of making things better. He just was a little boy who got caught.
Steve, I have one other quick comment that I'd like to make about Rachel's question. This is at least her dad's second marriage. So we don't know what happened to the first marriage, how and why that marriage dissolved. Rachel's mom and father are no longer together. Then how your father picked his spouse. I know you like her or love her. But once the anger is really dealt with, that also needs, they need to be in marriage therapy to learn to really deal with their histories and how to live with these two colliding histories, and which is my definition of a marriage. A marriage is a collision of two histories, and most people don't address marriage like that. They do it with a big smile on their face, and they're not ready for the hurricane that's to follow. Bottom line here is he needs to address that too. So good job, everybody. I agree.
Okay, so Rachel, I really sense that you were open to what we said. let this be the worst thing that has ever happened to him, that it's the end, not just an ongoing of really a crummy, crummy problem.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, just want to mention, Mylan and I, not to diss you at all, Chris, but Mylan and I hang out together a lot. We're going to be hanging out on February 14th at the workshop that they could go to and find a way to make this marriage work. It's our Marriage Intimacy Intensive, February 14th. It's in Southern California. And Mylan and I and Kay will be there. We'll be working with folks, and miracles will happen. And you can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're also going to take a little cruise, European cruise together, on the Rhine River. It's our New Life trip this year in 2020. There are a few cabins left. If you've never been on a trip with New Life, there's great content, fellowship, learning. The details of the trip are all on our website, newlife.com. Go there, find out. Come join us. We would love to have you go,
Steve,
with us.
Steve, you spoke of miracles on at the workshop.
Yep.
They're 48-hour miracles.
Mm-hmm. They are.
They're not instantaneous. Yep. They happen in 48 hours.
And the thing is, they're
semi-slow, semi-fast miracles.
Yeah.
Don't go. Wait.
The miracle is not that everything gets fixed, but the trajectory changes.
Yes.
And that's where we see the big stuff happen over time. Let's go to Joanne, Sacramento, California. She listens on our app also. Hi there. How you doing, Joanne?
Hi. I'm fine, thank you. I'm just calling. I have been married for like 30 years, and I'm dating now. I have a very nice man, Christian man, that I'm dating now for like a year and a half.
Okay.
And I've read some Changes at Heal and the Henry Cloud's book of Dating with Boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read twice, as a matter of fact. And I'm having communication type, issues. You know, I bring up kind of things, like that I've had questions about, or, if I feel like, oh, I thought you told me this, but, but now you're saying that. And he just doesn't really want to engage in conversation. And I'm really looking for a connection and openness and clarification. And Dr. Cloud's book says that, a boyfriend and girlfriend should be willing to be open and clarify things if they really care for one another. And and I bring that up. I just said, this is really very important to me, to have that open, because that builds connection, it builds relationship, and all that. Yeah. So
the question for us is,
I don't know if I should, if these are red flags, because it just, it seems to be kind of like it pops up every now and again, where all I need is, I'm not trying to, be
Joanne,
feeling a little bit.
Joanne.
Anxious. Yes. Yes.
It's a red flag.
It is?
You know it is.
You read the books.
You wouldn't have asked the question if it's a red flag if you didn't know that. He has no experience.
Yeah.
You're speaking a foreign language to him. He's not married. He's never been shoved into a relationship where he's had to learn these things. He has no experience doing what you are asking of him. He's emotionally avoidant. We talk about that in our book, How We Love. And he's not trained. Now the question is, does he want to grow, and will he grow for you, is the question.
Yeah. Okay, I want you to hold on. We've got some information, but it just reminds me of my Aunt Lucille from Texas when she would say, well, you can't get no blood out of no turnip. This could be what we're
My grandmother from Missouri said that, too.
Yeah, did she say that? All right, we're going to help you right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us. Joanne is dating a man, and she's read the books. She, Joanne, I was saying to the guys that I think all of us would be billionaires if we knew how to turn a guy like that into this loving, nurturing, connecting, communicating person, but I just there's just no way that that ever seems to happen. Remember, he is mm-hmm. putting his best foot forward for you there, and this is what he's got
right.
for you. In the best foot, that other foot's going to be pretty ugly. When you see mm-hmm. that, see.
Yeah, he's never been married, and so, but he's had previous.
How old is he and never married?
62.
62. Right. Well, life does make sense, you know.
Yeah. And Joanne, I do not want you to answer this on the air, okay? I'm just going to make a general comment to our listening audience and to all females out there. If you give sex to an emotionally avoidant male, he will be as happy as a clam at high tide. He'll be really happy, happy, and he'll think this is the greatest relationship in the world. But it's not about close emotional, relational connection and finding out what's in your soul and getting to know you as a person. When we have sex before marriage, it eliminates the possibility for the avoidant male. It eliminates for the female the possibility of closeness. If a female says, I'm not having sex until we're married, then she will find out whether this male will want to talk to her and get to know her soul. If that is the case, then he would be a keeper.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, here's the big dilemma, see, is that not only have we verified that Henry Cloud's red flags that you've seen are valid red flags, that this is not a very hopeful situation, then how courageous are you? How hard are you willing to fight for yourself and your future to get out of the relationship?
Yes, and that's the hard part, because in my marriage, I tried for many years to try to save that marriage and salvage it, and went to counseling, and what I thought basically was a marriage. And he divorced me because he said he did it for himself. He didn't do it because I was a bad wife or a bad mother. I tried to save him. It wasn't until 6 months after the marriage ended, it was divorced, that I found out he had another woman for a few years.
Yeah. So what you just said is that the man you were married to was really selfish. And it sounds like to me this man here that you're talking to is a little bit selfish.
And sex was involved.
Yeah.
In the first marriage.
No, it's not.
No. In the first marriage, he had sexual gratification elsewhere, possibly with no emotional connection, you see.
Exactly. So he denies it. Ex denies it.
Of course.
I'm going to send you this little book. It's
6 months.
Go ahead. You found out 6 months what?
After the divorce, case.
After it was final. And he still denies it. But, you know, we're in an okay place. I thought I was dealing with, since he was in law enforcement, I thought I was dealing with post-traumatic stress and other issues. But I didn't know that
Well, Joanne,
it could have been possibly that. Yeah.
I wish we had better news for you. I'm going to send you, is this the one? And all of the same kind of red flags are right there. And, you know, you might have paid a therapist a lot of money to not want to tell you this, but you called us, and this is an advice program. And I just think the best advice that we can give you is to say, I don't think this is the one. And I think the sooner that you do something for the future you, the better it's going to be for you now and then. Speaking of the future, the only way we have a future is when people support this ministry, Larry. We had great support at year end, didn't we?
Yes, and that's, I wanted to start with that and say thank you. We heard from people, you know, regular givers, one-time givers, Club New Life people, new donors. I just can't say thank you enough. It's been good. We're still getting mail from December, people who sent their check in yet in November. It's just arriving. So thank you, everybody, for that. But here we are in January. You know, our first workshop is this weekend, Every Man's Battle in D.C.
Yep. Yeah.
So things are starting up. Call centers taking calls from hurting people. And we've found that when those struggling folks, when their lives intersect with new life, ultimately, it results in life change. And we thank God for the work he's doing in those lives through what we do. But we need to keep this going. And if you gave a gift one time and it was in December, please don't think that waiting until December is the wisest thing to do, because it would help us if we would hear from you monthly or quarterly or regularly throughout the year.
Sure
and,
would.
So thank you. And please, whether you gave in November or not, please remember us in the new year. We often will give testimonies, and we'll hear some more of those in later programs. But today I just wanted to say thank you. We still need your help. It's a it's just a treadmill that keeps going. And but it's a good treadmill because it results in people's lives changing when you give. And that's why we ask.
So all the December givers really need to understand the value of being a part of the ongoing Club New Life family.
Absolutely.
Hopefully. Hopefully they will do that. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the phone number. Now, we're called New Life, and I want to talk to you about a new life for you. Today, I turned on the news, and I watched Harvey Weinstein make his way into a court of law, accused of a lifetime of a lack of sexual integrity and respect for himself and for women. And some of you, you know this, it's, maybe it's not to that degree, but you know this is your problem. Others, you know it's pornography now, and it may be something later. And this Friday, you could get it taken care of. You could come to Every Man's Battle. It's in Washington, D.C. this Friday. It starts this Friday, and we've got room for you. And it's where men within 48 hours go from feeling horrific about the sexual sins and their thought life to developing a life of sexual integrity. It's powerful, and it'll work if you'll come. It doesn't matter why you come. You just come. Maybe you come because you think you've got the least amount of problem ever, or the worst, or you just come to get her off your back. That's okay. We'll take whatever your motivation is, and we'll work with it. That's this Friday. It's going to change everything for you, but you have to come. You have to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and get the ball rolling. Now, you've told people you wanted to be better. You've not ever even picked up a phone. You could do that right now. There is so much love and grace and understanding, you won't believe how different your life will be.
Chris.
Women, some of you are married to a man who needs to be there, and he's made promises he can't keep them. When he leaves there, he's not just making promises. He's got the support of other men with integrity to help him keep those promises, to be worthy of your trust. You tell him to go. You call. You find out about it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number, Every Man's Battle. It's powerful. It's amazing. It changes everything. Call us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.